right. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. For our first Bible study of 2017, I thought this passage tonight was very appropriate for us as a fellowship, and hopefully for you individually and as a family as well. But I truly believe that as a fellowship, what we're going to talk about tonight is very appropriate as we go into this new year. I see some very specific challenges that we're going to be facing in the course of the year. And I believe that God has prepared this fellowship, the platform of this fellowship, the voice of this fellowship, for, to use a quote from the book of Esther, for such a time as this. I truly, truly believe that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, let's go ahead and just get the context instead of just jumping into the verse. So let's start in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So why upon the first day of the week were they instructed to give their offerings? Because that's when the church met. That's when the church assembled. They didn't assemble on the Sabbath. They assembled on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And that is consistent throughout the New Testament. You'll never find an example of the New Testament church assembling at any day of the week except on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And it's very specifically here stated upon the first day of the week, Sunday, when they came together. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality or your generosity or your giving unto Jerusalem. This was a pretty much an alms offering that the church was taking for the beleaguered saints in Jerusalem. We've talked about that before. As we've taught on the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch and so forth, the church of Jerusalem was a severely persecuted church. And as a result, many of them were forced to flee the city of Jerusalem and go out into the uttermost parts of the world, taking the gospel with them. The ones that were there were subjected to intense persecution and suffering of all kinds. Included in that would be financial suffering and deprivation. No one was going to look after them. There was no government going to take care of them. Even the family members of these Christian saints in Jerusalem, almost all of whom were converted Jews, their families had therefore disowned them. If they had jobs, they were dismissed from their positions because of their conversion to Christianity. They were totally subjected to the hardship of adversity at whatever level it came, again, including financial. So these Christians in Corinth and in other places, Paul said, for instance, the churches at Galatia, same thing. They were responding to the need of these suffering people in Jerusalem by bringing their offerings to the church on the day that they assembled. As they gave their tithes and offerings, as they assembled with the church on Sunday, they brought their, as you would call it, maybe alms offerings that Paul was going to take along with whoever went with him to Jerusalem and minister to the saints in that way. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me, meaning if I have to go personally, these that are approved will also go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide yea and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And verse 9 is the subject of our text tonight. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Let's talk about the great door that is opened unto us. Paul had stated a little bit of the plans that God had led him to do over the course of the next several months, as he briefly outlines in the verses that we just read. But you can feel the anticipation and the enthusiasm in his pen when he writes verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Just hold your place here, but I want to show you one verse that I think we have to look at when we read this. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Look at what the Lord writes to the church in Philadelphia. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee, what? An open door. And look at the rest of it. And no man can shut it. I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. When God opens a door, no man can shut it. And when God shuts a door, no man can open it. When Noah and his family went to the ark at the instruction of God, you go back and read that account in the book of Genesis, and you'll read a phrase as they went into the ark, and God shut the door. God shut the door of the ark. Noah could not open that door if he wanted to. And who knows, there may have been a point whenever the rain started descending upon the earth and the floodwaters began to rise, and the people who had mocked Noah and his family over the last 100 years as they were building a boat that no man had ever seen built before, because there was no body of water big enough for a boat to float on. So you can imagine the ridicule they went through. You can imagine the mockery that they went through for 100 years. And they rejected the message that Noah preached to them, as he was called a preacher of righteousness. They rejected his message. They mocked him. And then the rain started falling, and the floodwaters started rising. How many people on the outside began screaming and begging for Noah to open the door and let them in? What did Noah and his family hear as the people outside realized what was happening and that there was no way of escape? If Noah had wanted to open the door, and maybe he did, God shut the door, and Noah could not open it. When God shuts a door, no man's going to open it. But when God opens a door, no man is going to close it. And so the Church of Philadelphia, we have that verse that we just read, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. And that's the same thing you get here in verse 9. That same positive anticipation and excitement from the Apostle Paul. A great door and effectual is opened unto me. He had apparently winter coming on. Apparently he had plans to abide with these folks during the winter months, or maybe at Ephesus. So there were obviously things in between where he was and the door that God had opened for him. In between, there was going to be a time of maybe where that there was more of a settled state in the life of the Apostle Paul. And all of that, we're not exactly sure what he did during that time. Regardless, he was looking for that open door, that opportunity that God was giving to him. He was excited about it. He was anticipating it with great enthusiasm because he knew that God was the one that was in it. He knew God was the one that was opening the door. He knew God was the one that was going to bless it. He knew God was the one that was going to lead him in it. Everything that had happened in his life to that point had prepared him for whatever this open door was that he speaks of here in verse 9. As we look into 2017, there are going to be challenges facing us that, to me, are truly exciting. I think that this year is going to afford this fellowship and the message that God has given to this fellowship and all of the adversities that we've gone through and the oppositions that we've gone through, and what has that done for us as a fellowship? It has strengthened us. Amen?
Amen?
It has strengthened us. It has solidified. Don't think for a minute that there won't be more of the devil's imps that he will send among us during the course of this year to try and sidetrack us, etc. He will never stop at that. But let's face it, what God brought us through in 2016 and the tremendous opposition that was set against us. We're not talking about a little small attack. We're talking about a huge attack internally against our fellowship. Not only did this fellowship weather that storm, we did much more than that. We, through Christ, conquered that storm. And in your life individually, and in my life individually, our families, and then collectively as a fellowship, the Lord taught us, strengthened us, gave us wisdom that we didn't have before, gave us discernment that we didn't have before. He taught us things that we had to learn. 2016 was a great year of preparation for this fellowship. He brought us to the cusp of 2017 in a position that, quite frankly, we could not have been in except that we went through the storm of 2016. And through that brought us to this new year. And as I look at this year, and I don't want to... What I said this past Sunday was just a small token of what I am convinced will be many of the exciting challenges that as a nation and as a fellowship we're going to face during the course of this year. But I believe that very specifically, this fellowship, the voice, the platform that God has given us, is going to be, and I keep using this word, I used it 6 years ago, almost 2 weeks from now, a week and a half from now, will be, can you believe it, a Sunday after this coming Sunday will be our sixth anniversary as a fellowship. Sixth anniversary. And I said it 6 years ago, and I'm still saying it tonight, at the tip of the spear. I believe that we were at the tip of the spear 6 years ago when this fellowship started. And I believe that we are even more at the tip of the spear 6 years later than we were when we began. I am excited. I am truly excited because I believe that I can see what's coming during the course of this year. I can see it as if it's already happened. I can see it. And I can see the positioning of our people. I can see the importance and the uniqueness of the message. And I got to tell you, don't think for 1 second that people are not paying attention and learning from the message emanating from this platform. Don't think for a second that they're not. People are hearing the message. The Lord is burying it deep in their hearts and in their minds. The awareness is beginning to awaken. People are beginning to see through the facade and the phoniness of so much of what they've been taught for so long, and things that they believe that they are now beginning to realize were not true. They're beginning to pray over these things. They're beginning to study over these things. The light of illumination from the Lord is beginning to awaken in their hearts. What we share with you in the letters and the emails and so forth, those few that we give on each Sunday, is just a small, small sample of how God is taking the message of this fellowship and awakening people throughout this country, including pastors, including Christian workers, missionaries. You may not realize it. I don't talk about everything, and sometimes people even say, you know, Pastor Chuck, you don't need to share this publicly, et cetera, et cetera. But we even have missionaries that are following us enthusiastically, supporting us, praying for us, appreciating us, loving us. I've told you about some of the missionaries in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe and Northern Africa and that region. We have missionaries in Israel that support us enthusiastically, that understand the truth of what we're saying, and they see it from inside Israel as missionaries, and they understand the truth of what we're saying, and they are sharing with others the messages and the teaching and so forth that we present. These are really, really good people that themselves take a lot of persecution because of the positions that they take regarding the biblical teaching on Israel and so forth. Just one little microcosm of what God is doing. The open door that God has given us is so huge. It's so exciting. We should all, every day, among the many things that we thank God for in our personal devotional life with the Lord, we should thank Him every day for the privilege and the opportunity that God has given us to be part of this vision and to be part of this work and to be part of this opportunity. You realize how many people there are around the country who would love to be able to be part, physically, personally, a part of what God is doing here in this fellowship. They are with us from afar, and they share it in their hearts and their spirits, and they participate in their prayers, and many of them in their giving and their support of our fellowship. But what they would give to be able to be here in person, and they're not able to be. We are. We lucky few God has brought to this place. And I'm telling you, I have never seen in my mind's eye a year unfold like I believe God has shown me for 2017. I believe I already see what's going to happen. And I see the place that God has given us, the position in the battle, on the battlefield, the position that God has given us on the battlefield as the enemy embarks and as the work goes forward. I think God has put us right at the very tip, the very point of the battlefield. And the message that God has developed in our hearts is going to be a beacon in 2017. But I want you to notice the rest of it, and there are many adversaries. Don't think for one minute that when God opens a door for you, that the devil isn't going to send adversaries against you. Don't think for a minute that that's going to be the case. If God opens a door, the devil is going to send his imps to try and stop you, discourage you. The devil doesn't want you going through that door. He doesn't want you proceeding in the way God has led you. So he will send all kinds of opposition, many adversaries. We never know. That's the problem. We never know who the adversary is and the way the adversary is going to approach us. That's the thing about, evil people, wicked people always have the advantage of surprise on their side. They always have the advantage of surprise because we never see them coming. They don't walk up to us with a mask of Satan on their face, saying, "Here I am, I'm your adversary." They come to us in sheep's clothing. They come to us as ministers of righteousness. They come to us as friends and allies. We don't realize who they are until they reveal themselves. And by them, the element of surprise has taken effect, and we are left with the job of reacting, whereas they were the ones that already had set the trap. They had already made the plan, the snare, everything in their mind, the way they were going to do and what they were going to do and how they were going to befriend and how they were going to deceive and you had no idea what they were doing. They knew it. And you don't realize it until it's too late. The snare has been set. Oh, wow. So now we must react to their their wickedness, etc. So it's the wicked people, the Satan's ambassadors, they always have the advantage of surprise. Don't ever forget that. You don't see them coming. They sneak up on you. They're experts at sneaking up on us. So we react. Don't be surprised when the adversaries come against us. There are how many adversaries? Say it. Many. Many adversaries. We will have adversaries in 2017. There's no question. Some of these adversaries are going to come within. Some of these adversaries are going to claim to be part of the body of Christ. I really believe that as we proceed into what's coming forth, that most of the serious enemies that we will face will be professing Christians. Most will be professing Christians. They are the ones that are going to bear the fangs. They are the ones that are going to bear the claws. They are the ones that are going to be the most aggressive in attacking us. Because I don't know, well, I'm sure you do. You recognize, do you not? I know this probably isn't a surprise to anybody. And by the way, for those of you that are watching online, it's about 5 degrees below zero tonight on this early January midweek service, and we have a full house of faithful Liberty Fellowship dedicated Montana Patriots. Give yourselves a hand, folks. I've seen churches where a few drops of rain will keep half the congregation away, and here we are on a very frigid night, and we've got a full house. I don't think I'm probably going to say anything that's going to shock you. But the message of this fellowship is upsetting the status quo. Have you figured that out yet? It really is upsetting the status quo. People, most people, don't want to be uncomfortable in what they think. They have, over time, generated a comfort zone in their belief system. And anything that challenges that comfort zone is anathema in their minds. And they are very hesitant to even entertain the idea because it makes them feel extremely uncomfortable. For one thing, it forces them to question. It forces them to study. It forces them to analyze. It forces them to adjust their thinking, philosophy, mindset. What they have been taught, could it be that what I've been taught all of my life by people that I love and respect was wrong? Is it possible that I have taught something to others that was wrong? You have to be a genuine truth seeker to be willing to admit to yourself, I was wrong. That may sound simple to you, but most people are not willing to admit that to themselves. They aren't. And the older they get, the less apt they are to be willing to admit that. very few people are honest enough with themselves and their hearts to be willing to say to the Lord, I want to know your truth, and I'm willing to pursue your truth and follow your truth no matter where it leads me. And if there is an adjustment that needs to be made from my end, I'm willing to make that adjustment. I'm willing to admit I was wrong. I'm willing to restudy the matter. I'm willing to rethink it. I'm willing to admit that what I have believed all my life was not true. That takes a genuine, honest, sincere person that most people simply, sadly, are not. So when we come along and we present, and if you want to, and I don't know how many of you do this already, but I would like to challenge you to do this. Those of you that are computer literate, which most of you are, and those of you that are on social media like Facebook, if you will plug into my Facebook posts, which I always supplement the columns that we put out and the messages with Facebook posts. Sometimes those posts mirror the column. Like this week, for example, the one I posted just yesterday, it is a precursor for the column that's coming out tomorrow nationally. Take that post of mine and repost it on your page. Send it to your friends, people outside the fellowship, and see what kind of reaction you get. I challenge you to try that. Watch how people respond. Many of them are going to respond by not responding. They're just not going to say anything because it's such a dramatic reassessment of what they have believed. They don't know how, they don't even know how to grasp it. They don't even know how to respond to it. Others will give you a real quick knee-jerk reaction of animosity and rejection and so forth. But what you will be doing is you will be planting the seed of truth that they have not thought about in their hearts and in their minds. And I want to encourage you to do that. We have to start challenging the ideas and the concepts and the thinking, especially of Christian people, and even those that may not be Christian but are sincere liberty lovers. If we are going to penetrate this devilish, phony facade that Satan has used and is using to blind the church and, as a result, the nation, you individually have an opportunity to use your social media outlets, your contacts. It should be more, with us, it should be more than just, oh, here's what my little doggy looked like today with the little bow over his neck and his little fuzzy, I got a little fuzzy warm one. And, you know, all these, whatever it is that motivates people to share all these things, think about the opportunity you have to challenge the minds and the hearts of people that know you with the truth that God might use in their lives to help awaken them to that which God wants to do in 2017. Are you following me here? In this room and among those that are, think about the hundreds and thousands of people that you and I could potentially influence with real truth, real substance, if we would just take advantage of the opportunities that we have. Try it. Use 2017 as an opportunity to start reaching out to people. Some of them may unfriend you. Some of them may get mad and they don't want... So be it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a serious crossroads in our country's history. And the church is going to have to come to grips with some realities of the Word of God and some truth of the Word of God that if we do not, we're not going to have to worry about what kind of a little fluffy coat we have on our dog. We'll be having to worry about whether or not we're going to be living in a free country. And the things that people are all focused on, the frivolous things that people are focused on, aren't going to matter to a hill of beans. We'll have much greater problems than those. The opportunity is there. The open door is here. The adversaries are going to be there. So be it. So be it. Expect it. Don't be shocked when they arrive. Don't be shocked when the opposition comes. Don't panic. Don't worry about it. If the adversaries aren't there, it means we're not doing something right. If there's an open door, there's going to be adversaries. What's our job? Skip down to verse 13, and I think this summarizes our responsibility. Therefore, here's our instruction. Watch ye. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, quit you like men. Number four, be strong. Number one, watch ye. Be alert. Be alert. Be alert every time we come together in this fellowship. We should be alert. Be alert of what's going on around us. Be alert of who the people are around us. Be alert to the even the instincts and the I know we can't always judge the heart, but the evidences of the heart that are around us. Watch ye, be alert. Be alert at home. Be alert when you're out in the community. You should always be alert. Always be alert. It should be second nature to us to be alert. Be alert, be alert, be alert, be alert. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, be alert. Don't ever let your guard down. As soon as you do, the devil will take advantage of it. Always be alert. You know, I don't know that this is going to be the right word that would fit the scriptural definition, and I may be not using a totally correct analogy in what I'm going to try to illustrate here. So forgive me if the analogy is not 100% theologically correct. But every one of us, when we gather together as a body in this fellowship, we bring in with us a force field. Like I said, the analogy may not be 100% scripturally correct. So I hope what I'm trying to explain will connect. We bring with us a force. People bring with them, when they come into a spiritual setting, well, any setting really, they bring with them a certain force field. They will bring with them a force field of opposition and cynicism and skepticism and ridicule. Or they will bring in a force field of love and respect and honor and trust and protection. And believe me, if we could see the spiritual scene that's in this room right now, and every time we meet, there is a spiritual battle taking place every time we get together. The forces of God's angelic host and the forces of Satan's devilish host are fighting for supremacy every time we get together. And there are people that are going to be in the room, sometimes more than others, that the devil has brought in with them, and their personal force field augments the devil's work in our midst. You might not see it, but if you're spiritually discerning, you can feel it. You can feel the tension. You can feel the opposition. You can feel the rejection. You can feel the hatred. You can sense it. By the same time, the people that are coming in that are filled with the Spirit of God, and they're filled with the Spirit of love, and they're filled with the Spirit of protection for the Lord's work, those are the ones that God uses in the assembly. Those are the ones that the Lord's host are using in the assembly. And the spiritual battle that emanates from inside our hearts is being felt in the spirit world all around our fellowship. And it's that way every time we come together. Don't you think for one minute that when you walk in here that you're walking into a neutral assembly? You are walking into an assembly where it is absolutely mandatory that you take a position in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. You are forced to take a position. And that personal, again, the word is probably the wrong choice of word, but the force field that you bring in to our fellowship is felt by the Lord. It's felt by Satan. It's felt by the hosts of the spirit world on both sides of righteousness. And to a large degree, as your pastor that stands in front of you every week, it's felt by me. I can sense the force field of people, pro and con. I may not be able to tell exactly where is that force field coming from. Who is this person that is bringing this positive or negative force into the room? I may not be able to tell that because I don't know the hearts and I can't see the souls, but I can sense the spirit that people bring with them into the fellowship. Before everything that happened finally came to a head last year within our fellowship, I had known for a year that something wasn't right. I had known for a year that there were people inside the fellowship that whose hearts were not right, whose hearts were not here. I could sense it every Sunday. I didn't know who, because I can't know those things. But I knew something was amiss. I could feel the force field was wrong. And I have observed in my 40-plus years of pastoring that that has been the case each time the devil has been allowed to infiltrate a fellowship and put the wrong spirit inside that fellowship and the wrong attitude. It always comes to a head. And one thing you're going to find out about me, if you haven't already found out already, you are looking at a preacher that whenever I begin to realize that something isn't right in the fellowship, I am not going to stop preaching from this platform what I need to preach to expose and expel that bad spirit. Mark it down. I will not stop. I don't avoid it. I don't try to gloss it over, pretend it's not there, and let's just all be happy together. When I get the sense from the Spirit of God that there is this spiritual battle taking place and that the spiritual forces are mounting against the message, I am a bulldog. I will preach it and preach it and preach it until they can't stand it anymore, and they will be exposed and they will be expelled. That is the only way you can deal with a situation like that and keep the focus of the fellowship on track. Because if you don't, pretty soon the message will be diluted, the focus will be diluted, blurred, and pretty soon you won't even know why you're here and what we're doing here. And believe me, at this stage in my life and in my ministry, the one thing that I don't want to let happen is to lose focus as to why I'm here, what God called me to do, and what's the purpose of this fellowship. And God is my witness and my help. I will do my best to be sure that the focus of this fellowship is never lost. And the focus of the fellowship, folks, is the message that God has given us. The message is the focus. So, watch, be alert, bring in the right force field. Again, I know that's not probably the spiritual word, but hopefully you know what I'm saying. Bring in the right spirit. Bring in that alertness. Bring in that spirit of love and protection and fellowship that God has given us. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. Stand fast. When you say stand fast, that gives you the image of the winds are howling. You know, the storm is all around. And you got to bear down and grit your teeth and hunker down. And I'm not going to bow to this wind. I'm not going to bow to this storm. Stand fast. That kind of implies the meaning here. Stand fast in the faith. And then thirdly, quit ye like men or women. In other words, don't quit. That's what it means. Quit ye like men. Quit ye like women. Don't quit. Be a man. Be a woman. Stand your ground. Stand up. Don't surrender. Don't back up. Stand up. Don't quit. Men don't quit. Women don't quit. Boys quit. Girls quit. Men don't quit. Are you a man or are you a boy? Are you a woman or are you a girl? Are you a grown-up or are you a child? If you're a grown-up, act like a grown-up. Take the difficulties. Don't expect everybody else to do it for you. Expect that you are going to have to do something yourself. If God has brought us here, God will sustain us here. God will meet our needs. If we live in this entitlement society where everybody expects somebody else to give them something or to do it for them. Well, if you were a Christian, you would... No, quit trying to manipulate people for your own purposes. Grow up. Be a man. Take responsibility. Work. Be a woman. Take responsibility. Work. And then be strong. Be strong. Well, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to have to be strong. But not in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God will give you the strength you need. He will give you the power you need. I'm like a little boy in a candy shop with excitement about the open door I see God has given us and the time in which God has placed us, the preparation that God has given us, and the position and the message. I'm excited. I can see it. I can sense it. And I have no idea what the details are going to be, of course. And I don't know all the ins and the outs and how God is going to do this and that and the oppositions and the adversaries and all of these things. We can't know those things. But we can know we have an open door. We can know that there are many adversaries. And we can know how to watch. And we can know how to stand. And we can know how to be men and women. And we can know that we can be strong in the power of our God. So I am looking forward to 2017, folks. I really am. Go ahead. And as a fellowship, I want you to be excited about 2017. I want you to be hopeful. I want you to be optimistic. I want you to be watchful, but at the same time, with faith, let's know that God has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. All right, let's stand for a word of prayer.